Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. It's hard to believe we've come to the end of the year already. 2023 is behind us, with the exception of a couple hours. At the end of the year, I think we tend to do two things. First, we look back at the year that we just had, and we spend some time reflecting on the good moments and maybe some times that challenged us a little bit as well. On the other hand, we take a look at the future and we think about what's to come. Maybe we make some New Year's resolutions. What you see behind me is a chart, an example of a chart that my family used to make. Whenever my brother Corey and I were kids, we would fill it in, and it became something of a competition to see who could get the most done by the end of the year. And I'm looking at my mom, and she's shaking her head. She knows. It became competitive. Yeah, you know, two brothers, that's how it is. As I thought about resolutions, though, I researched what some of the most common ones are, some of the most common New Year's resolutions. And what I found is that they're really all about one of two things. They're either about more or less. We want to make a little bit more money, or maybe we want to lose a little bit of weight. We want to go on more vacations, or we want to spend a little less time with that person that we don't really see eye to eye with. And there's this idea in our society that if we just have a little bit more of this and a little bit less of that, we'll be happy. We'll have a good year. As we look to the coming new year and we think about our resolutions, I'd like to take some time first to just discuss the book of Romans. Romans was one of the first letters, one of Paul's first letters to the nations, indicating his desire to preach the gospel. And as we heard Pat read this morning, he has a lot to say about how we should find guidance for the future. Before we dive into it, we kind of have to understand a few things about the book of Romans. First, Rome was mostly comprised of Gentiles or non-believers at the time that he wrote this letter. People that were Gentiles didn't prescribe to any particular faith. They were faithless. Additionally, Paul had not yet been to Rome whenever he first wrote this letter. He went later, but not yet. So he was writing to a foreign place, and to a people he had never met, about something that they didn't believe, and he had to convince them that everything they did believe was wrong. What could go wrong? Clearly, Paul had to be very delicate, very careful, very intentional about what he wrote, because if he crossed that line, if he offended somebody, if he said something that was maybe over the line, they would throw his letter in the trash, and he would be discredited, disregarded. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of something that Marley told me about in her first semester here of graduate school that she learned from one of her professors, and it's this idea, you can see it up here, of the compliment sandwich. And I know that sounds a little funny, but it's helpful sometimes whenever you have to deliver bad news or tell somebody something that they don't want to hear. You first tell them something that is something that they like, a compliment. Then you put in that thing they're not going to be happy to hear. And then you finish off with another compliment, and together it makes a little sandwich, and it's a little bit more, no pun intended, palatable than just telling them that thing that they aren't going to be happy to hear. If you can layer it with a little something that they're going to like. And we see this in Romans 3. As we dive into the book of Romans. Paul says in Romans 3, throughout this chapter, he says, no one is righteous. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And that is Romans 3, 23. Paul is saying, I, Paul, am like you. I have sinned. I have fallen short. That's what makes us alike, not different. Me, Paul, a reformed, now Jew, Christian, you Gentiles, we are alike more than we are different. With that said, I'd like to read for you first Romans 5, 1 to 2, because there's an important shift here that happens. And I'll read that for you now. This is the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Throughout this letter, Paul continually builds his case to the Romans, but at key moments, he turns the attention back to Jesus. And that's what he's doing here in Romans 5. Paul's saying earlier, it's okay, I've made my mistakes, I've sinned, I've fallen short, but that's okay. He turns the attention back to Jesus, and in doing so, he really works to reaffirm a fundamental principle, a fundamental truth of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to practice the faith that we all do. And that is that our God is the God of all people, not just those of us sitting between these four walls, not just those sitting in other church sanctuaries and any number of churches throughout this country, throughout the world. He is the God of all people. As we move on through this letter, we get to Romans 12, and I think here Paul figures, well, if they've gotten this far in the letter, I probably have their attention, so I can probably let loose a little bit. And he tells the Romans exactly how they are supposed to live. And everything he says is exactly in accordance with what Jesus said and did during his ministry here on earth. And so I'm going to read for you here Romans 12, what Pat read this morning. And I'm just going to kind of take it slow because I just think this is so important. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And verse 11 in the New Living Translation, it's very simple. It's just four words. It says, serve the Lord enthusiastically. And my grandmother got me interested in a preacher by the name of Chuck Swindoll. Many of you may know him, Charles Swindoll. And he said whenever he preached on that particular verse, Romans 12, 11, he said, serve the Lord enthusiastically. He said he does his best preaching on his tiptoes because he's excited. And that's what I think about whenever I read that verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Again, the New Living Translation just says simply, never stop praying. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be too proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Again, the New Living Translation says, essentially, don't be a know-it-all in that last line there. None of what I just read is new to anyone here. We know this passage. We know Romans. We know how God desires us to live. For as well as we know these commandments, however, they very often get lost on us. They aren't lost, though, on a man that has perhaps never heard them, and that man is the man that you see behind me, the author Stephen King. And you're probably wondering, why is there a picture of Stephen King in a church service? For those that don't know Stephen King, he's a very well-known, famous author of the suspense, thriller, some might say horror variety. I will admit I've never read any of his work. That's not my cup of tea. Back in the late 90s, actually, he was involved in a very serious car accident. In this accident, he was ejected from his car. On the side of an old country road that not many people traveled. And if he hadn't been found in the timely manner that he was found, he probably would not have survived. Well, a few years after this accident, he had some time to rest, recover, and he was invited to give a commencement speech at just a small school, Vassar University, and he had some words to say, and this is just a small snippet of what he had to say to those students that I'm going to read for you right now. So what I'm about to read is the words of Stephen King and just some of what he said to the students of Vassar University. A couple years ago, I found out what "you can't take it with you" means. I found out while I was lying in the ditch at the side of a country road covered in mud and blood, and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in the ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We all know that life is ephemeral, but on that particular day, and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come in naked and broke, and we may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Steve King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the credit cards you have, all the mutual funds and precious metals you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be a quarter past getting late, whether you tell time on a Timex or a Rolex. No matter how big your bank account, sooner or later, things will go wrong. In the end, there are really only three things that you have that you can call your own: your body, your spirit, and your mind. I want you to consider making your lives one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. Our resolutions are so often about more and less. Many of them aren't necessarily bad goals to aspire to, but some are blatantly materialistic. And I'm just as guilty of that as anyone, I'll admit that. On Mount Sinai, though, God's last commandment to Moses was, "Thou shalt not covet." In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told those in the crowd, "Do not store up treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven, for where your treasures are, there your heart will be also." Instead of more and less, Paul tells us in Romans 12 that our resolution should be about patience, compassion, hospitality, and most of all, love, genuine love. Instead of more and less, let's heed the words of the author Stephen King, which is probably something I'll never say in another sermon the rest of my life. But let's heed the words of the author Stephen King and make our lives gifts to others. Love each other with genuine love and honor each other in what you do and say. This year, remember Paul's lesson that our God is the God of all people, and thus we are to be a people that love all people. And again, not just the people in this room, but everyone outside of this room as well. Serve God faithfully and enthusiastically, and be ready to help those in need. This year, volunteer here at the church or for some other cause that you feel the Lord has called you to. Don't curse those or persecute those that curse or persecute you. This year, pray that God will sow seeds of love and understanding into their heart as well as into your own. Live in harmony. Don't be too proud. Don't be conceited. In some, brothers and sisters, our resolutions should not come from here. They should come from right here. Because there will come a time when you don't celebrate a new year. Our time will come, God will call us home, and all that lasts is what you pass on. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that when we trip and fall, you're there to help us up. We all fall short of your standard, Lord, and we thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. As we approach this new year, we must admit resolutions are tough. We make it a little while and it all falls apart. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to live out the resolutions your word calls us to. Help us to know that when troubling times come, when we find ourselves struggling to keep those resolutions, we can find refuge in your word and in prayer. I pray finally, dear Father, for your blessing of this church and all those that enter it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.